Villainous of Puyallup. His car was broken into while parked at 1108 South 13th Monday evening. A sport coat, sweater, and slacks were taken, also some cookware in a black container. Well, time is running out for the Fife School District election today. The proposition on the ballot for 17 mills will provide local funds for maintenance and operation for 1965-66 school year. And remember, this levy is for 1 year only. It replaces the special levy of last year, which was for some 18 mills. Milton precincts will be voting at the Milton City Hall. The town of Fife votes at the Fife Fire Station. And the Hylabus, Gardenville, and Tidehaven precincts will be voting at Fife High School Gym. But by all means, remember, get out and vote today. And I believe the precincts will be closing at 8 p.m. KMO News continues in 60 seconds. It's pretty generally human nature not to truly appreciate something until we no longer have it, isn't it? This can be said even for our eyesight, one of our most precious possessions. Do not take chances with your eyes. Entrust them to the finest quality eye care available in Pierce County. That's your Binion optometrist. There's no substitute for quality, and there's no substitute for Binion optometrist. 920 Broadway in downtown Tacoma, or Binion optometrist in Avila Plaza. Binion optometrist is your complete eye care office. In one location, your eyes are examined by the highly competent Dr. M.M. Dodge or Dr. Clyde E. Brown. If glasses are needed, the lenses are precision ground by professional opticians. And at either location of Binion Optometrist, you select your quality glass frames from a large and attractive selection. Remember, you can't afford to take your eyes for granted. No one is ever too young to have them examined just to be on the safe side. First opportunity you have, I recommend you see your Binion optometrist, Dr. Dodge, at 920 Broadway, or Dr. Clyde E. Brown in the Villa Plaza office. Now here's our news director, Clay Johnson, by tape recording.
On the local news front, today's Tacoma City Council agenda is calling for the first reading of an ordinance which would take the old Highland Golf Course area, which is considerable acreage, and convert it into a planned residential community, and also would allow a small commercial district as well within the 127-acre plat. Council members are to be faced today with a variety of improvements in the form of local improvement districts, or LIDs, and while a great deal of detailed information will be involved in the consideration of the LIDs, the council agenda today appears to be filled with generally routine city housekeeping measures. The council convenes at 4 o'clock each Tuesday afternoon in the council chambers on the third floor of the county city building. Today was voting day in the Edgemont School District, which is located just north of Puyallup. Voters have before them an 18 mil special levy request, which would raise $69,000 for general maintenance and operation. The additional funds would maintain the school program at its present level and would provide for the addition of three new teachers to the staff. A total of 621 votes must be cast today to validate the election. The president of Weyerhaeuser Company in Tacoma, Norman Clapp, will be speaking in the Crystal Ballroom of the Winthrop Hotel at 12 noon. Tomorrow, he was picked by the United States government for a European trip from 50 of the nation's top organizations to look into economic affairs and then a personal opinion of the American image abroad. This is being sponsored by the YMCA World Services Committee. There have been some 500 invitations mailed for this session tomorrow. KMO Radio received this news from Jack Gill, YMCA representative. Well, the ceremonies to celebrate the inauguration of the toll-free Narrows Bridge have been scheduled for 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, April 29. According to Chairman Blair, he is the head of a committee organized by the Chamber locally to set up the observance of this occasion. It is expected that collection of the tolls on the Narrows Bridge will probably end an hour earlier than that 2 o'clock time at around 1 to permit residents of Bremerton and the peninsula to cross the bridge without charge to attend this program or ceremony. Site for the program will be on the north side of Olympia Boulevard near the Toll Plaza. Governor Daniel J. Evans, Highway Director Charles Prawl, Highway Commissioner Chairman George D. Zahn, Mayor Harold Tollefson of Tacoma, Mayor Glenn Jarston of Bremerton, and County Commissioners Harry Sprinker and Robert Lloyd of Pierce and Kitsap Counties will participate in the program. Chairman Blair will be the MC. 11-year-old John Custer suffered possible back injuries and two broken front teeth in a traffic mishap right in front of his own home yesterday. John was a passenger in his father's car as Alan J. Custer, aged 32, attempted to turn into his own driveway at 1704 East 72nd. His vehicle was struck by a car operated by George N. Thompson, 21 years of age, of 1709 East Vickery. The Custer youth was taken to Lakewood General Hospital for the treatment of those multiple injuries. The accident was reported at 9:25 last night, according to Tacoma City Police today. KMO News Scope continues in 1 minute.
Right now at KMO, 22 minutes until 6 o'clock. Want a place of your own? Well, just reach for the phone. Call Al Mayfield for comfort, low cost, and convenience. Call Al Mayfield for larger listings, more choice for you. Call Al Mayfield for better housing, both old and new. Call Al Mayfield when you want to move to a different place. Call Al Mayfield to buy, to sell in either case. Yes, call Al Mayfield at Juniper 8-1786. That's Al Mayfield, your dependable real estate broker, for action. He has homes for sale. Three bedroom, has family room, two fireplaces, one and a half baths, wall-to-wall carpets, and the owner will sell VA, FHA, or conventional at $20,500. Studio apartments for rent are just $55 to $65, including part utilities and electric heat. Yes, if you want a place of your own, just reach for the phone and dial Al Mayfield, your real estate broker, at Juniper 8-1786.
In other news of local interest, the Tacoma Detachment, the Tacoma Office of the Washington State Patrol, indicates a rash of incidents during the overnight period up until this hour. An accident involving two separate cars occurred at 80th Avenue East and 112th at about 7:15 last night, reported today. Melvin A. Johnson of Yakima and John W. Foster of 9717 East Monroe in Tacoma were involved in a collision. Passengers in the Johnson machine, Johnny Johnson, 27, of Enumclaw, and Susie Johnson, 2 years, also of Enumclaw, both suffered injuries, lacerations, and cuts. Janet Johnson, 45 years of age, of Yakima, suffered a possible fractured right hand in this mishap. And at 5:10, approximately, yesterday afternoon, on Lake Stillicum Drive in Gravelly Lake, three cars piled up, operated by Stephen Kadesh of North Lake Drive, Southwest in Tacoma, Craig Calloway of Davison Road, Southwest Tacoma, and also one by Elva Tyler. That was the third vehicle, Elva Tyler of South Tacoma Way. Injured was a passenger in the Kadesh vehicle, Margaret, who was the driver's wife, and she suffered a bruised leg and arm and also shock in the incident, was taken to Madigan Hospital for treatment. Pierce County authorities report to KMO Newscope that a house in Spanaway with a defective water heater, in fact a water heater that had had a history of some previous trouble in the home, blew its top last evening at about 10 p.m. The heater blew in not only its top but both ends of the house out on the ground level. The home's residents were John and Jean Tudor. They were both blown out of the house together with the rest of the debris of the house. Strangely and amazingly enough, they were not severely injured. John Tudor was blown out of the bedroom area of the home into his backyard. He suffered a possible broken ankle. His wife was in the living room area of the house, a rather small home, according to authorities, when the blast occurred, and she suffered only facial cuts. The pair were taken to Mountain View Hospital, where they were treated and then released. Tudor is stationed at Fort Lewis, according to the authorities. Yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, there was a regular hearing of the City Planning Commission in Tacoma in the council chambers. This was the third hearing on one particular matter, the old Tacoma development proposal for North 29th and Star, which would require a rezoning to an R4 classification in the city code. And this measure, the third time around, as of yesterday afternoon, passed the planning commissioners 7-0. Members Reconosciuto and Brenninger were absent previously in the first two hearings, during which public discussion was allowed. Many of the property owners in the area had quite strongly protested the old Tacoma development, as it is called. Also, two supermarket developments were continued to later dates. One for, or rather on petition of, the Safeway people was continued till June 17th, at which time it will come up again before the planners. This located in the area of 55th and 56th from Park to G in Tacoma, and as we said, after some considerable protest at the hearing yesterday, it's been continued till June 17th, at which time it will again be discussed. And a supermarket development on behalf of the Hardman Company between 6th and North 7th, between Stevens and Mason, was discussed for a time. The protests were registered and considered by the city planners, and this matter was continued till May the 17th. KMO Newscope continues in just a moment.
Now when you talk about Ford, talk to Titus Ford.
I say Titus Ford. Their solid reputation has won the admiration of the man who's wise to those bigger, better buys. Titus service,
the best in town.
And those Titus trade-ins are the best around.
When you talk about Ford, talk to Titus. 6th and Broadway, so drop around. 6th and Broadway, right downtown.
It was Omer Khayyam who wrote, "Come fill the cup and in the fire of spring, the winter garment of repentance bring." Now this filling the cup and the garment business can lead to trouble, but spring is around the corner, and here at Titus Ford in downtown Tacoma, surrounded by all models of this year's magnificent Ford, we say this to you. No one can or will undersell Titus. No one keeps a finer service department. No one has a better reputation for ethical deals. No gimmicks or giveaways.
Joe Peterson, Joe Punzak, two Titus salesmen, invite you to see them about a new or used car purchase. KMO time, 17 minutes until 6.
In some other news of local interest today, the Port of Tacoma today advised the Gig Harbor Fishermen's Civic Club. The port must necessarily say no at this time to the club's 2,437-name petition that the port provide an adequate public wharf for both the commercial and pleasure boats at Gig Harbor. At the same time, Port Commission President Maurice Raymond told the fishermen's group in a letter, "With the collection of information on a number of financial and technical problems, the port still stands willing to explore at least three possible means of constructing some type of boat haven." He did mention that problems had been encountered, very severe problems, in the present proposal or request on behalf of the people in Gig Harbor. The letter outlined the history of Gig Harbor's search for a wharf and pointed out delegations from the Civic Club had demanded a yes or no answer. The port had committed itself to giving an answer to this petition no later than Friday, 30 days after the port had conducted a public hearing, March 24. The letter said, and here I quote, "Since you insist upon a categorical answer to your demand," Raymond's letter said, "that answer must at this time necessarily be and is no." The executive director of the Child Welfare League of America, Joseph Reed, is to speak at the final luncheon meeting of the Northwest Regional Conference, Child Welfare League of America, which will be held here in the city of Tacoma, April 25 through 28. Vincent DeFrancis, director of the Children's Division, American Humane Association, will lead an institute on protective services to children during the Northwest Regional Conference, which will be held at the Winthrop Hotel, April 25 to 28. Alfred Peterson, general manager of Never Neverland, told KMO News that the opening date for this season will be either May 1st or 7th. You'll recall, I'm sure, the delightful Never Neverland. It's the delight of children. This is the storybook fairyland that opened last year in Point Defiance Park, and Peterson said the woods are still too bare, and the opening date now hinges on how soon the ferns, the shrubs, and the trees will actually develop. According to Peterson, according to the information he gave us here at KMO News, five new major scenes and an additional ride will be added to this year's Never Neverland, which is located near or adjoining the old fort. These have been some of the local highlights to this hour. Clay Johnson reporting for KMO News.
Well, summer's coming. Green grass, warm sun, trips to the ocean or the mountains, a vacation for the family, a rest for you. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Well, you can do these things, you know, providing you don't have too many duties around the home. Scraping paint, replacing putty, painting windowsills, sanding, buying, spilling, mixing. No, mister, that's not for you. Not when Al Dorwin at 2502 South C Street in Tacoma will replace loose putty in all your windows and repaint those windows to just the color you want. If you decide you want all year-round protection from the outside, protection from the bug.
Judge Rossellini is said to have said that he would have no objection to putting the legislator's pay raise proposal into the bill along with that for the judges. And I can see why there'd be no objection from any of the judges for that. It would have a better chance of passing if the legislators are to get a piece of the action, too. No members of the Judiciary Committee voiced any objections to the salary increase for judges when it was discussed. Senator Perry Woodall of Toppenish did have some objection to the pension increases that would automatically go along with the salary boosts, pensions being based on salary. Woodall said, "Under this new deal, judges will get $10,000 a year for doing nothing. We're going to have judges retiring at 49 and 50 and drawing 10 G's, and they'll be back in the act competing with the rest of us lawyers," said Woodall. Well, elsewhere in entertainment activities, there's a glum one at the Proctor, a Japanese film called Harry Carey, which is said to be harrowing but beautiful, if stylized disemboweling happens to be your dish. And on Wednesday, the internationally known violinist Michael Rabin will be guest artist with the UPS Tacoma Symphony Orchestra at Mount Tahoma. He'll be playing the Brahms Violin Concerto. And that's it for this morning, except for headlines that Roll will have immediately after this word from Pacific First Federal. They might well discover the secret of urban vitality almost any evening at 8 o'clock in the Piazza della Repubblica. And what might that secret be? The blinding truth would descend upon them. The needs and interests and whims of people must come first, not lines on a map, or areas zoned for this or that, or silly notions that the new is always necessarily better than the old. Our planners, he laments, are great ones for open spaces. They cherish the illusion, heaven alone knows why, that there is something interesting in emptiness. Florence is crowded, he exults. Florence is intimate. The whole exuberant city constantly is brushing shoulders and squeezing together on her narrow walks. Her squares are not sealed to the architect's drawing board. They are scaled to the human being. Our city planners, he complains, do not understand this at all. They think big. The attitude tells us why the awful power of eminent domain is used so casually these days. Close quote. I would be the last to quarrel with anyone's admiration of Florence. It must be one of the world's most successful cities. It is my favorite small metropolis, crowded and noisy though it is. But Florence did not become a wonderful place by accident. It is no monument to unplanned development. Florence can handle its growth and its visitors because it was planned well. The town was originally laid out along the lines of a Roman military camp, and after nearly 2,000 years, the pattern of the original plan can still be seen on the map. The wonderful Piazza della Repubblica, which Kilpatrick rightly admires, may seem intimate for a city of 380,000, but it was laid out when Florence was a city of 50,000. And because the town planners of that day thought big and thought long, the piazza can accommodate, almost, today's Florentines as well as today's tourists. Nor did Florentines feel that a property owner had no responsibility to the community at large. When the nobles became involved in competition to see who could build the most imposing high-rise houses, and back in the 12th century they were erecting skyscrapers that would overshadow our county city building, the citizens of the city republic of Florence warned them that if they continued, the rest of the community would simply move away and leave them to try to live in and maintain their monumental follies. Yet where public buildings were concerned, the early Florentines not only thought big, but demanded beauty. The Duomo is not as big as St. Peter's. Giotto's Tower is not as high as a Space Needle, but each is substantial, and each approaches perfection. Nor do modern Florentines feel that their wonderful city is beyond improvement. Traffic in the narrow streets is terrible. The town stinks of diesel, and it reverberates to the clash of gears and the backfiring of Vespas. The town council is searching desperately for a solution to the problem of modern traffic. Florentine dreams of a subway or perhaps a monorail, and they're not fussy about where they find the financing. They've petitioned both Rome and the Rockefellers for help. Florence was laid out spaciously a millennium ago. Some of its open spaces have been filled across the centuries, but even today, Florence jealously guards the green spaces around the town against covetous developers. They have exercised that awful power of eminent domain that Kilpatrick laments to preserve the surrounding countryside. Kilpatrick is correct. Planners, city officials, architects, drafters of codes, in fact, everyone interested in community development should see Florence. It's one of the world's great monuments to planning, to foresight, and to the wise use of community funds. That's it for today and for the start of the year. Happy New Year, and I'll be with you at the same time on Monday.